week before his sacrifice, the people who were praising God for giving them a king had the wrong idea about Jesus. They were sure he would be a national leader who would restore their nation to its former glory, and so they were deaf to the words of the prophets and blind to Jesus' real mission, and also blind to their own mistake about his purpose. Again, welcome to worship this morning as we celebrate on Palm Sunday the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem and the unmistakable truth that Jesus is Savior.
Praise and prayer and thanks before
I have just a couple of things to mention this morning. One is the men's breakfast is coming up this Saturday at 8 o'clock at Perkins. And the other is a bit of a repeat, but just another reminder that Pastor Chris Townsend will provide the service next week on Easter Sunday. And after the service, the council is providing brunch for all who are here. So be sure to invite your family and friends to this special day of worship and meeting Pastor Townsend and his wife, Sarah. Our call to worship is from the Lutheran Book of Worship for Palm Sunday. God sent his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take our flesh upon him and to suffer death on the cross. May we share his obedience in God's will and in the glorious victory of his resurrection. God's Son, our Lord, lives and reigns with God and the Holy Spirit now and forevermore. We come to glorify the King of Kings. And there is a congregational statement that I'd like us to read together. This is also from the Lutheran Book of Worship. Holy God, source of all love, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus gave his disciples a new covenant to love one another as he had loved them. By your Holy Spirit, write this commandment on our hearts. Bring us close to you as we grow in our faith and our faithfulness.
Will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I can never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast.
Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, even though you are the King of Kings, you humbled yourself to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. You freely brought yourself to Jerusalem knowing what would happen to you, not for your own glory, but rather to offer life to every person who greeted you in that place, and to every person born thereafter, including all of us. Thank you, Jesus, for your commitment to give that gift to each of us. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's a joy to be here with you today. Don't sound so excited. I find that every time I go to speak or preach, it's always an adventure of some sort to find out exactly what's going on, how it all is going to fit together, and at the end of the day, how it went. I had the privilege yesterday of presiding, I guess, officiating at the funeral of a good friend of mine, John Blagg, but much better friend of Dean Ramsey sitting out there. Dean grew up down the road. Dean's best friend is Gary, and Gary's dad, John, was 100 years old and 156 days when he died. And it's one of those joys where he had asked me if I would do his funeral. And, well, that's always quite an honor. And I said, yes. And I said, anything special you want? And he said, yes. Don't be boring. Okay. I want people to laugh. All right. Well, what do you want me to talk about? What do you want me to say? And he said, whatever you want, they'll get over it. And so, while it was sad to say goodbye, indeed, we did have a wonderful time celebrating the life of John Blagg, who lived, as I added it up, 880,000 hours. And you boil it down to one. Well, today, of course, we're going to talk, and our focus, we come and we all know it's Palm Sunday. And so, we know that that's the triumphal entry of Jesus mounted on a donkey as he went into Jerusalem. And we look at that and we say, wow, and we talk about it year after year after year after year. It probably took him about an hour to ride that donkey in. He wasn't on a donkey very long. I've often thought, and each year, Louisa's my wife, we have this discussion. She says, what are you preaching on? Especially on these high holy days. And so, because one year I told her I was going to preach on the donkey. And she said that would be a very bad idea. So someday I'm going to preach on the donkey, but I'm not going to tell her. But we come to these days, and it was a relative small amount of time. But it signified so much. And so I, being Daniel, I'm going to approach it from a different angle this morning. But to begin with, I'm going to confuse Lynn Ann, and I'm going to read a portion of Scripture that she knew nothing about. Is not on the PowerPoint, and I just want you to listen. We're going to do something a little bit different. And as John Blagg said, you'll get over it. I am going to read to you the account of the triumphal entry from the book of Mark. And while I do that, I would like you to stand. So that's different. So if you're able, stand up. How many of you were given a palm branch this morning? If you have that, would you pick it up? And you don't have to wave it over your head or anything silly. You can if you like. You can wave it over your wife's head or someone else's. But just hold it. Okay, so we know that they laid these palms down and they waved them, you know, as we would wave something to gather attention. And just listen as I read this account of the triumphal entry from the book of Mark chapter 11. As they approached Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? You say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it back here. And they went away and found a colt tied at the door outside in the street and untied it. And some of the bystanders were saying to them, what are you doing on tying that colt. And they said to them, just as Jesus had told them, and they gave them permission. And they brought the colt to Jesus and put their garments on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their garments in the road, and others spread leafy branches, having cut them from the fields. And those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he, is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And they were probably shouting it as Jewish people would, like they were at a football game. And Jesus entered Jerusalem and came into the temple. And after looking around at everything, he left for Bethany with the 12, since it was already late. Wow. It ended quietly, didn't it? Let's pray. Father God, as we come to read your word this morning, and we remember today that one moment when you entered and all that it signified, we thank you. We thank you that you came in on a donkey and not on a white stallion. We thank you that you rode in and allowed everyone, both those who gave you true worship and those who were false, you accepted it all, and we thank you. Lord, this morning, as we look at your word, and we learn more about you as a shepherd, would you help me to say it well? Would you help it to be heard, and would you help it to make a difference in at least one life today? And I thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. And now we will have our scripture readings that I gave to Lynn Ann, so I won't get fired. So, our first comes from the book of Isaiah, and I'll read it off the screen so that we're all seeing and reading the same words. Comfort, comfort my people, says our God, your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level. The rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And from the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18, where Jesus is teaching to all who will hear. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Let's pray. Lord, now that we have read your word, help me to make sense of it. Amen. A fascinating story is told about a trip to Palestine many years ago. And it's a story of shepherds and sheep. And as a man observed, he saw several shepherds bringing their flocks. And that night, they all brought them into one common pen so that they would be safe. And the shepherds could talk about the day and probably gossip about their wives. The same thing we do today, guys, when we get together. And they got the sheep in there for the night and they settled down. And then the next morning came and they opened that gate. And here all these sheep were mixed together, and this guy watched, and here he saw there were three different shepherds, and so the one went over this direction a little ways, and one went over there, and one over the other way, and the first shepherd, he lifts up his voice and says, "Ki-yi-yi-yi-yi-yi!" And a whole bunch of sheep wandered over there and just went over right to where he was. And then the shepherd, the second shepherd, he waited a little bit and he said, "Yip, yip, 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 yo!" And here a whole bunch of other sheep, they went over to that shepherd. And then the last guy, he waited a bit, you know, just a bit. And then he yelled, "Hoot, hoot!" And all the sheep were now out of the sheep pen and they were all with their shepherd. Each one absolutely knew which shepherd's voice he belonged to, and absolutely ignored completely the call that wasn't intended for him. Now, there's probably six ways you could take that illustration. You could say, well, maybe you should be ignoring some of the things you're hearing in your ears too. Or you can say, follow your shepherd, and that's where we're going today. Do you notice when Jesus came in to Jerusalem that day, he didn't shout or yell or jump up and down or wear an extra big hat. He just sat on a donkey. A donkey was very common. He didn't have to create a hoopla because he was the real deal. And as people knew what he had done. He had healed the sick. He had cared and was always kind to everyone. He had actually raised the dead. So when he came in, people were the ones who were shouting. And he came in, and both the good sheep and the bad sheep followed along. It's an amazing thing to think of that our sheep, our shepherd, is the one shepherd. Well, I would ask, you know, whose voice do you recognize? Whose voice do you listen to? Just as I was coming here in the car, I was listening to an old preacher, and he gave an example of he said there was an Indian man in the Southwest, and he was a follower of Christ, and he was a pretty godly man, and this preacher said, "Well, man, what's your secret? You're just such a godly man. You don't seem to go back and forth, living a holy life and an evil life and a." You know, and he said, "You're not in church on Sunday morning singing hallelujah and getting drunk every Friday night." And the guy says, "Well," he says, "you know what we say." He says, "Within you there are two dogs. One is a mean, nasty dog that likes to bite people. And the other one is a very nice dog that is your best helper." And he said, and the preacher said, well, how do you know which one's in charge? Oh, he says, that's easy. Which one are you feeding? If you feed the nasty dog with nastiness, that's the way you'll go. If you feed the good dog, that's the way you'll go. So what are you listening to? Well, we have a shepherd, and we have a good shepherd. And in the New Testament, three times Jesus is identified as the shepherd, and then there are three different adjectives he used for him. The first is in John 10:11, which we've already read, and it says, I am the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Jesus gave his life. He wasn't forced to. He did it because he wanted to. But good. Do you know that good comes from the old word God? It's actually quite funny. If I actually have one person who works for me who claims to be an atheist, and I don't know if he's if he'll be a Christian in a foxhole guy, but anyway. And so I like to go in the morning and I say good morning, and he says good morning, and I smile because he has. I say, yep, he just said God morning again, one more time. Holiday comes from holy day. So when Christmas rolls around and people want to say happy holidays, just respond and say happy holy days to you too. It'll leave them scratching their head for the whole day and you'll be happy. But Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And do you know that's one of the names of God in Hebrew? Now, I'll only say it in Hebrew probably once or twice. Roe Tzon, shepherd of the flock. The shepherd. That's one of the names the Hebrew used to refer to God. And it's a beautiful name. Now in Hebrews 13:20, Jesus is also called the great shepherd. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well and pleasing in his sight, and through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Jesus, who is our Lord, is not just good, but he is great. And in 1 Peter 5:4, he's referred to as the chief shepherd. Shepherd, three different ways. Today, we're going to focus on the good shepherd. The good shepherd. I'm happy to say that he is my shepherd. I don't always react in a good, godly, patient manner. Now, it's very easy. You see me standing up here, and when I preach, I don't preach bad stuff. I preach good stuff. And you might have an idea that I never get upset. And you might have the idea that I always say, glory, glory, hallelujah, I just smashed my thumb with a hammer. But you would be wrong. We are all beggars telling other beggars where we found the bread. So when I come up here and I preach, trust, I am telling you, this is how I want to live. This is how I should live. And as I've said many times, preaching to myself, he's the good shepherd. And I want to follow the good shepherd. I don't want to follow the nasty shepherd. Make sure you know who you're following. I told the story yesterday, and I'll tell it again now. In Israel, there was a guide who was explaining to a group of tourists that you'll never see in Israel someone beating sheep, from the backside, hitting them with sticks and throwing stones and yelling at them, cussing them out. And right then, in front of the bus, comes a guy across with three sheep in front of him, and he's beating them with a stick and yelling at them. And the guy says, stop the bus, and he jumps off and says, what are you doing? What are you doing? I just told all the people right here that here you'd never, ever see a shepherd doing this to the sheep. And the guy says, well, I suppose that's true, but I'm not a shepherd. I'm the butcher. And the point being in my life and in your life is, who are you following? Now, of course, you follow the butcher for a little while, but then he'll just beat you into submission until he got you where he wants you. But are you following the shepherd, or are you being herded by the butcher? It's one or the other. It's one or the other. The shepherd never changes, but we do. Now, some more good news is that, what does the shepherd do, the good shepherd? Well, the good shepherd does a lot of things. First of all, he protects the sheep. In Matthew 9:36, it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He protects us with compassion. We don't have a mean shepherd. We have a good shepherd. It also tells us that he protects the sheep with care. We read in Isaiah 40, verse 11, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom gently, leading those who are with young. He also protects them with courage. He doesn't have any fear. What did he say in John? We read it. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, I don't fear death, but I fear dying. I mean, you know, that makes sense, doesn't it? We work with grain silos, and now that my guys don't like me to climb silos anymore. I said, well, what's the problem? I'm not that old. And they said, yeah, but the problem is if you die, we're in duck soup. No, what do? We got to figure this thing out again. No, you stay on the ground here. And I get to thinking about that. Yeah, I'm not afraid to climb. I am afraid of falling and that sudden stop at the end of the fall. I don't like that. But at the same time, Jesus didn't have any fear of that because he knew exactly what was coming. The shepherd, the good shepherd, our good shepherd, Jesus, the one who rode in on the donkey that day, knew exactly what was coming. He knew who was true. He knew who was false. He knew who was going to turn against him. He knew what was going to happen. And he got on the donkey, and he rode in anyway. Courage. You know, the good shepherd, it says, never leaves the sheep. Jesus said, I truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. They had a corral. There was no door like you think of it. The shepherd was the door. Jesus was there, always protecting the sheep on the inside. Nobody can sneak in and out. The good shepherd provides for the sheep. In Psalm 23, it says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He tells us, don't worry about the future because I know the future. I am the good shepherd. Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or drink, nor about your body, what you put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Well, the thing is, you don't have to worry about the future, not because you don't care, but because he cares and he is there. Now, I listened the other day as I was traveling. I listened to a long talk about AI, artificial intelligence, what's coming and what might happen and what could happen. I'll tell you what, that'll keep you awake at night. But I really appreciated it. At the end of the talk, the man who was really an expert on it said, everyone here needs to know that I am a follower of Jesus. And because of that, this doesn't keep me awake at night because I don't know what's going to happen, but he does. And that's how we have to live day by day. That's our good shepherd. He knows tomorrow. And he also gives us peace. That's another thing that the shepherd does. Do you know in Isaiah 30, verse 15, it says this, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning in rest you will be saved, in quietness and in strength and trust shall be your strength. Do you know, and I've said this before, sheep only chew their cud when they're content. They will not chew their cud when they're running for their lives. They will not chew their cud when they're hurrying to get somewhere. They will not chew their cud when they're getting sheared. They will not chew their cud except when they're lying down and content. Now there's got to be a lesson there for us. How about you? Now, if you think of chewing your cud, do you all know what that is? Because I'm preaching in Iowa, not New York City. When do you chew your cud? And of course, here I'm talking about the Word of God. Now, first of all, you have to eat it. You have to actually read it. You have to have it a little bit of it in your head. Do you think about it? Do you ruminate on it? What does that mean? How does it affect me? It's been a joy this year so far to choose one Hebrew name of God each week. And I just chew that thing all week long. I think about it when I wake up in the morning. I think about it when I lay down at night. I wonder, and then I think about it. And then I dig into Scripture for a while. What a relief, but only when you're at peace. You know when I don't think about it? When I'm trying to sell something. Or when I'm arguing. Well, when my wife argues with me, I don't argue with her, but, you know, yeah, you get that. Make sure you're eating the right things, would you? Here's some beautiful words. Our good shepherd. Now remember, this is one of the names of God, and he's your God. He's your Lord. Now listen, it says in Psalm 1:2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, my good shepherd. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in my good shepherd. I will meditate on the good shepherd's precepts, and I will fix my eyes on the good shepherd's ways. Are you? And then there's the good shepherd's interaction. I don't want you to think, for instance, I had a teacher who once said, please do not think of God as the big marshmallow in the sky. He is not. And our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, is not either. Now, next week you'll celebrate Easter, and Pastor Chris will be here, and I'm sure he'll have a great sermon. But I always like to point out on Easter Sunday morning myself that when they came to arrest Jesus in the garden after Judas had betrayed him, they said, are you? And he said, I am. And when he said, I am, it knocked them flat on their backsides. And then I can imagine them getting up and saying, is it you? And he let them take him. But there was no, they took him against his will. He went willingly. One word, they were all toast. And very crispy toast. In John 10, there's some interaction here with the Pharisees, isn't there? That's who he's talking about. Now the Pharisees, I'm sure most of you know, but the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. They were the hidey-highs, the hoity-toities. You know, they had all the right clothes. They had everything on the outside was good. Everything on the inside was rotten. Now, not all of the Pharisees were rotten. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and he came to Christ, and later was one that laid Christ in the tomb. But the Pharisees in general were all about what you see. Now, some of you will remember there were Pharisees and there were Sadducees. And the major difference between them were the Pharisees believed in a future resurrection and the Sadducees didn't. Or, as another professor of mine said, the Pharisees had hope, so they smiled. They were fair, you see. And the Sadducees had no hope, so they were sad, you see. Do you get that? Yeah, they were sad, no hope. You will not be asked that when you get to heaven, but it is interesting. But listen to Jesus' interaction as he's talking to the Pharisees. He said, hey guys, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. As they were doing, adding all of these rules. And he says, the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. It's only one. It's the good shepherd who is the shepherd. He then adds, and he says, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And he goes on ahead of them. He leads them out. He goes on ahead of them. He's always with them. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out, and his sheep follow him because he knows their voice. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. My point here is this. Where is the sheep? Where's the shepherd in all of this? And where were the Pharisees? The Pharisees lived apart from everyone and didn't want to get dirty. They couldn't touch someone who was unclean. And Jesus, the good shepherd, was always among the sheep. And he is always among the sheep. Today. How about you? The shepherd is with the flock at all the time. And who is the flock? Go look in the mirror. You are the flock. This is a flock. We call it a church. It's a flock of sheep. You are a group of believers. And here you are. And the shepherd, where is he? He is always, always with you. Do you believe that? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Most of you memorized that, didn't you? You don't have to worry when you're asleep, do you? So, where's the shepherd when you're asleep? With you. So the shepherd is with you when you sleep, when you rise, when you eat, when you talk, when you brush your teeth, when you mow the lawn, when you wash the dishes, when you cook, when you're happy, when you're sad, when you're putting on your pants, when you're putting on your shoes, when you smash your thumb, when you're driving in your car. You cannot get away from the shepherd. He is with you each and every moment. He is with you when you fall in love. He is with you when your heart is broken. He is with you when you enjoy, and he is with you when you say goodbye to your parents. You are not alone. And we are never alone. That's a beautiful song, Never Alone. As I get older and I listen to the hymns, I often think, you know, the people who wrote those hymns had been through a lot of life, because there's a lot of life in those songs. And I especially like the song, He Lives. It says, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. Do you recognize the voice of the shepherd? Are you listening for the voice of the shepherd? Are you reading the words of the shepherd? He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. But I want you to know something, that the shepherd, the good shepherd, doesn't just live in your heart. He lives in your heart and he lives outside of your heart. He lives in your hands and your toes and in your nose. And he lives beside you, and he rides beside you in the car, and he accompanies you in the house. You are never alone. That may or may not be amazing to you, but it is amazing to me. The shepherd of the flock, the good shepherd, is always with you. And my friends, you are never, never alone. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I thank you that you are the good shepherd. You could have been anything else, but you chose that image so that we would understand how much you love us. We thank you for the fact that you are with us, and I hope that at least someone here today, Lord, feels, oh, thank goodness I'm not alone. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And if you will now pray with me as the Good Shepherd taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, as we repeat the Apostles' Creed together, I'm going to ask the musicians to come forward, because after the creed, we're going to sing a song together, We Will Glorify. So let's repeat together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Oh, And those who went in front and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. And all the people said, Hosanna in the highest. God bless you and have a blessed week.
Thanks be to God.